All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NBA podcast. It's Friday. It's November 30th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site, but you don't want to type in all those keys on your keypads. You just type in DFSR.com, and you go to DFSR.com/deals, and that's a special offer for the podcast listener. Free trial for 7 days, and then a discounted rate of $24.95 a month, and you're good to go. Optimal lineups for NBA, FanDuel, and DraftKings. It covers our NFL package as well. Betting picks that are coming out 3 to 4 days a week. Premium chat. It's all there under one subscription package. So go check it out. DFSR.com/deals. No risk. You just get it free for 7 days. You like it. You stick around. You don't like it. You leave. And then you go off and do something else. And you never want to hear from me again. But that's how you keep customers around. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com/deals. Go and check it out. Big Friday in basketball. Pretty exciting games last night. The Warriors and Raptors. Warriors were able to hang just enough with the Raptors. Take him to overtime, but then eventually talent wins out. But KD, man, he was just lethal. I don't know. There was a debate in our chat about where KD lands in terms of like best players in the NBA. It's always easier to have these debates when the guy's just completely going ham during a game you're watching, and it's easy to say, oh, he's better than LeBron or like whatever it is. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot. We'll get into these games in a second, but I was kind of doing a thing of like a guy I would want to, if I had to play a game right now, this is the guy I would want. If I had to have a guy for the next 4 years, this is the guy I would want. And if I had to have a guy for the next 8 years, this is what I want. You could take a guess on like where my rankings were. I don't know if you have a way you would break that down. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot because we didn't talk about this.
My guy watches the one Kevin Durant game and now he's ready. Kevin Durant is the guy. No, I guess I don't. the one game, 5 games, 5 years, whatever thing, always. I'd rather think about it in terms of this season versus like for the next 5 years. It seems like Giannis would almost have to be the guy in the 5 year thing just because the upside and the excitement level and the age. I don't know. But in terms of this year, I think you can make an argument that Durant's the best player. I mean, being able to shoot 50% and score 30 points a game is pretty good. so you'll take it. But I don't know. Anthony Davis is pretty damn good too. He's got injury concerns and I don't know. It's just so hard to know on an individual level who's the best player just because team context matters so much too. And it's not that difficult to look like the best player in the league when you're on the best team in the league too. So
yeah, I think that if you looked at the cast of characters he was playing with last night when he's just like playing crunch time with like Jarebko and Livingston or Iguodala and this and like Kevin Looney and whatever, and he's still there able to take a very good team to overtime, it does make a case for it. I went LeBron and then Durant a few more years out, and then I went Giannis.
LeBron for this year?
Yeah, for one game right now, I would. Yeah, take LeBron.
One game.
These totally arbitrary endpoints. I don't know. Sometimes it's fun to discuss, like about what, you know, just I think it more speaks to like how what like hierarchy of players is, and that's the fun part about sports. Usually, is just the debate. So anyway, that's what we were debating in our chat room last night. Let's talk about what is going on Friday in the Friday pretty full slate of basketball here. Not as crazy as Wednesday, where we had just some nutso lines. We had like, I don't know, 4 or 5 games that had 10 double-digit spreads or more, so we were sort of worried about blowout. Most of the games actually did end up in blowout. There were a couple that kept it close, but not as much of that issue going on here tonight. The first game, 7 o'clock, Washington goes in and plays Philly. The injury news here, Dwight looks like he's going to miss significant time. He has to have surgery, glute surgery. So insert whatever jokes, stupid jokes anyone's going to make here. We're not going to do it. But Dwight is now going.
That was your version of the stupid
joke. Nod to it without paying it too much mind, I don't think. Anyway, he's out. Washington looks like a total mess at times. They have to seem like they have to play Wall and Beal. Okay, it would seemingly feel like they would need to play Wall and Beal all the minutes. It didn't happen with Wall last game. He ended up just sitting most of the third at the end of the third quarter, most of the fourth before finally coming in, getting totally buzzed off in minutes. Where do you stand on trying to portion out these Wizard minutes, and then we can talk a little bit about Philly?
Yeah, I mean, so the Wizards are a team that I would rather not play on any given night unless there's tremendous value that presents itself for a couple of reasons. The first is that these big guys like Wall and Beal tend to play a lot of minutes when things are going well, and especially Beal is now priced to that effect, right? I mean, this is a guy that over 2 games played 93 minutes last week, and then he played 34 minutes against New Orleans in a relatively close game that you would have expected him to play a little bit more. Now he's exceedingly expensive, especially on FanDuel, and unless you're just going to pencil him in for 40 minutes, which he could get there, but he needs all those 40 minutes to pay an $8,300 price tag, so I don't know how pumped you are about that. I mean, we already saw that Wall kind of fall apart on you. I mean, really, Wall this season just hasn't been a $9,200 player in general. The time of possession has kind of come and gone. The assists have ticked back up, but they're still not going to settle in at 2016 numbers. I don't know. People seem to like Wall a lot more than I do. I'm never too enthusiastic when I see him in the lineup. And then the other guy from the Wizards that we'll probably wind up looking at is Markieff Morris. He is a guy that does stand to see a significant increase in minutes, also rebounds, because he'll play closer to the basket with Dwight out. And, you know, he played 40 minutes against Houston. He did play 32 against New Orleans, but even he's going to have foul trouble issues. He can have performance issues when the shot's not falling. So I don't know. I mean, maybe if like one of these guys winds up in the lineup, just because that's how the price works, that's fine. I wouldn't be excited going all in on Washington tonight, though.
Yeah, I pretty much fall. I mean, here's the other thing. I fall mostly in line with what you're saying here. This game does have a pretty high total, 235 right now. We are waiting on totals for a couple of other games. That total is, of the ones that are already posted, that is easily the highest over-under of the day. Strikes me as a little high. I don't know. Philly's a very good defense, and they're not necessarily vastly better with Butler there, because Covington was a great defender, so it's not like a defensive upgrade going from Covington to Butler, I don't think. But they're still just a damn good defense. They're eighth in the league right now, and I don't think they drop off too much losing Covington. So they're a top, you call them a top 10 defense. Washington is just at times just struggles to score. On the Philly side, Embiid just been a complete animal. This guy has made kind of like another leap into he already sort of started making the leap last year. Now he's making another leap where he's just playing basically max minutes in close games and looks borderline unstoppable. Washington's gonna feature Thomas Bryant at center for 15 minutes, and then they're gonna cede it to Markieff Morris. Do you see Embiid? I mean, could Embiid just put up a monster in this game? They're gonna have almost no way to defend him in the post. It wouldn't seem, based on the personnel they've been running out there.
Yeah, so Embiid's a funny one. I mean, he first of all passes the immediate sniff test of fantasy points per minute on his current prices. So you love to see that. 54 fantasy points a game, $11,000 salary. And like we saw against New York, when the matchup is right, he doesn't even need his full run of minutes to get there. I mean, he dropped 58 fantasy points on them in just 30 minutes on the court. Right now, Washington, I mean, I just kind of wonder actually if Washington's going to wind up leaving Bryant out there for additional minutes, because like Markieff Morris doesn't have a credible chance to cover Embiid down low, right? He's just going to... Markieff already is a foul box, and going up against one of the league's best offensive centers is just a recipe for disaster. So, yeah, with Embiid, he was an 18% play in cash games in his last game against the Knicks. I suspect you could see a higher number on that, given that the price has come down. He was 11-2 in that game, 11,000 now. So, yeah, I like Embiid tonight. There's some reasonable punt plays at centers, so that might take away from some ownership there. But, yeah, definitely won't be surprised if he's very, very highly owned in all formats.
Yeah, I mean, they tried Bryant out against Davis at center last game, and Davis shot 21 times and had 28 points and 15 rebounds. They moved Bryant out off and put Markieff on him, and he just destroyed him. So And this is actually, in terms of just size, this is actually just an even bigger problem in terms of just overall strength. I mean, Davis is great, obviously, too, but like this is an even bigger problem, I think, for them in the post. So I think Embiid has a lot of upside. The price is getting up there at this point. The usage on the other guys just hasn't really been there, because this is mostly just Embiid's team. You're going to maybe get a big 3-point shooting performance every once in a while out of Redick. Butler has that usage has dropped off a cliff when he shares the court with Embiid, like 16% usage or something like that while they're on the court together. So you're really not expecting much out of him. And then it's Simmons. So interesting game, big total. Not sure how much fantasy stuff we're going to want to get into on these guys, mostly because a lot of these teams are just probably priced, they're just priced appropriately. All right, Chicago goes in and plays Detroit. Detroit 9.5-point favorites. Lower total here. Our system loves Blake and Drummond in this matchup against the interior defense. I'm putting defense in quotes. The interior defense of the Bulls. Right now, I mean, Aaron Baines is there, because Horford's already been ruled out. So we're going to talk about Chicago or Boston here in a second. But right behind him, in terms of our projections, is Drummond. They've been so bad about defending centers here. Do you think Drummond, right now, especially on DraftKings, and it's even so close, even with Baines, with Drummond on FanDuel, could you see him as a cash game player, or are you just worried that the minutes have kind of, his performance just does some, at times, seem to come and go?
Yeah, it's less a performance issue with Drummond and more of a minutes question. I mean, they beat the Knicks by 7 points. He played 30 minutes only. They beat Phoenix by 11. Other starters played their minutes. He played 31. He obviously played a huge game against Houston. Got in foul trouble against Houston the game before that. And then he was playing much higher and more consistent minutes. So really with Drummond, I mean, as with every player, but pinning down what the real plan is on Drummond's minutes is the real art here. And I think it's just going to be difficult to do that. I think he unquestionably has upside on the order of Embiid or any of these other guys. But can you really just look at this game log and say, yeah, sign this guy up for 35 minutes the way you could a week ago? I'm just not so sure.
Yeah, I fall in that same kind of path. I want to be very bullish on, like, when I look at the run of 39, 36, 37 minutes, like, I want to dream on that is the case for him. And
it probably will be many more times this season, but will it be tonight is the question one has to ask oneself, you know?
I think this matchup lends itself to being one of those nights where you can just keep him on the court for a long period of time. There's no one that Chicago can run out there that's going to punish him in any kind of just noticeable way at all. Like, you know, Wendell Carter Jr., no. Robin Lopez, no. So, like, there's just not – you're not really running into a post problem for him. I do think that you could see, especially just with the way they run their offense, he could pile on the rebounds again. Rebounding still has not been a problem, even with the minutes come and go. 14 rebounds, 16, 20, 11, 16, 12 in the last six games. So it's really just been kind of – just trying to get there on the defensive stats and the scoring. I think on DraftKings at 9,700, you just, or 9,400, that seems like just a crazy, amazing deal with the double-double potential. Huge upside on that price. I think I'm fine there, and you probably end up running Baines out on FanDuel just because that's a nice punt play. What about Blake? They've been a little bit better about defending power forwards this year, Chicago. Blake's minutes don't seem as in question. He's been just awesome, like, basically from a fantasy point perspective here, shooting well from three, all the stuff you kind of want to see. Does he strike you maybe more on FanDuel as one of the two power forward plays you could roll out there?
Yeah, power forward's really weak, so I'm always down for a little bit of Blake. I would not share your same level of enthusiasm just about how awesome he's been, though. In the last five games, you've been, like, fine on this price once, and then disappointed every other time. So, you know, these are different matchups, but some of these teams he's gone up against, Cleveland, Phoenix, New York in that stretch, he didn't pay value against any of those guys. So I'm just not sure what his, like, right price would be right now. It is a good matchup against Chicago. There is a little bit of blowout risk. I could play him, but I'm not gonna, you know, go out of my way to build my lineup around him or anything.
You know what's interesting about him is that he's one of these guys that strikes me as he actually scores points in so many different ways and hasn't had a game recently where he's just put it all together. So, because he's had an 11 assist game in the short term, he's had double digit rebounding games three games in a row. He's had a 9 assist game, and then he just hasn't had a game where it all, like, he strikes me as a guy that has a triple double upside and just hasn't maybe put it all together for a single game. The assists are probably part of the problem, is the rest of his personnel is so bad, like, around the perimeter. The guys that he could really benefit from his skill set, the Reggie Bullocks and Glenn Robinsons of the world, aren't really doing him any favors when it comes to that stuff. But,
well, they're not, but, like, you can't, in the last two games, Blake combined 71 minutes, 7 rebounds, 0 defensive stats. Like, he can just really disappear on you in some categories too.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's why looking at the game log can look so weird, because at times he can pile on certain stats and then they can kind of just end up just leaving. Chicago, I mean, I don't. What do you want to do with this thing? They've been playing RC Adakino, like, big minutes out of the point guard. I don't want to have any part of him. Like, just basically,
people played him in cash against Milwaukee, and he's been really good in the last two games.
He shot threes.
People will go back there.
I don't know. With some of the other point guard plays that I think you can get, we have him at 37 minutes right now. This is a guy. I know he hit his threes against Milwaukee, and 48 and 35 points. I just don't. This is at 5,500. If you're the point guard on a team with Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker, your shots are going to not be there more than they are going to be there. So he shot 14 for 24, and he shot lights out from three, 9 for 15. That's just not going to continue. Like, he's three games removed from an 0-for-5 and 0-for-4 performance. 8 shots, 7 shots on 40 minutes. This is not a guy I want to play. I'd much rather look at some of the other cheaper point guards. And then the rest of the Bulls personnel is just not something I'm interested in. We've seen LaVine already start to regress to the mean in terms of some of his scoring. Utah goes in and plays Charlotte. Close spread here. The Hornets 1.5-point favorites. Looks like, you know, Donovan Mitchell is going to play in this game. I'm struggling to see much in ways to get excited about this game from a DFS perspective. I don't think Kyle Korver got traded for Alec Burks. I don't think he's going to end up playing. So maybe you see a few more bench minutes out of some of these, like, you know, combo guard wing kind of guys. But other than that, I mean, is there anything to even get remotely excited about for this game?
Well, your buddy Rudy Gobert, that we bent over backwards to try to get out of lineups against Brooklyn, went out there and promptly dropped 61 fantasy points. Thank goodness no one else was on it either, but that was definitely a hard pill to swallow because he was just like forcing himself into lineups all day long, and we wound up basically just getting Mo Bamba in there. Excuse me, made me laugh. Getting Mo Bamba in there as our starting center. He was fine, the lineup's cashed, but just made me laugh. You know, it's not quite as good a matchup, obviously, against Charlotte. The price hasn't really come down, but I don't think he's a terrible play, I guess. I mean, I think the plan in reasonable games is for him to play 33 minutes. The Jazz played a long stretch of kind of weird game strips coming and going, and in a game with a two-point spread, I think you could theoretically play him. But yeah, other than that, this is probably, given that we have two podcasts ahead of us here today, Doug, this one might be just a standard skip.
Yeah, I'm with you. That Rudy Gobert thing ended up being just, it was hard, so hard to stare down the barrel, like an $8,500 price tag on a starting center on a huge slate that had guys like Harden and Davis.
Yeah, I agreed with the take for sure.
And all and Westbrook, and I had written them up because, like, it's just, again, it's like, it's, you could set your clock to, you set your watch to starting centers just brutalizing the Nets. It's happened every single game this year on lock, and he just did it again. Then it just keeps getting worse for their DVP stats in that, in terms of that position. Cleveland goes in and plays Boston. Boston's a 12-point favorite here. The early news, at least from the Boston side on the injury note, is that Al Horford has been ruled out for rest, and Jaylen Brown is going to be out too. So I think you're going to see a starting lineup of Kyrie, Tatum, Marcus Morris, Aaron Baines, and I'm forgetting somebody. I'm forgetting who their four starters. Anyway, you're gonna, but mostly what we're looking at, Marcus Smart. Sorry, you're gonna see Smart and Baines move into the starting lineup. Where do you put these guys in terms of pump plays? Do you think Baines ends up being a chalk play? Got the start for Horford last time, 23 minutes, so it's not a ton, but
he was great though.
He does fine. He was amazing. Mm-hmm. So I do think at 35, he's 3,500 on FanDuel. Is he just a kind of lock it, set it, and forget it, move on to the other positions because this is the exact guy you want to pump with?
Yeah, definitely on FanDuel. I think the 3,500, it was interesting because it was between him and O'Quinn that night. Both had about 29% ownership, even though O'Quinn was coming off the bench, and Baines, you know, doubled up on O'Quinn's total or something like that. I think you'll wind up seeing, I would guess you'll see Baines' ownership at north of 40%, could be higher than that, just looking at some of the other center options and just what he enables, you know, like, these days, it's just very, very popular to grab a guy at 3,500 who's going to start, who just could be good. We saw this with Tim Frazier the other night, too. I know we'll get to this, but Tim Frazier just basically had zero track record of doing anything at all. But given that you can drop the low score, and most people I still think are not totally in tune with just dropping something for the sake of dropping it. Like, I think people want a little bit of more safety from their drops, and Baines provides that. So, yeah, you'll see big ownership there.
Yeah, I would go higher than 40. I'd probably say like 70% in cash games, just because the price tag is so low.
70% is north of 40, by the way. So that's like a rectangle.
But so is But so is 41%. I'm going way. I guess I'm saying I want it to go way higher. I wasn't like, oh, I think 42% is more.
More like 42%.
I'm going 75% higher or whatever. All right. Sure. So after Baines though, Marcus Smart played a ton of minutes. He played 40 minutes in the starting role. A guy that we've seen him move into the starting lineup at times, and just that doesn't really mean anything for his fantasy scoring. It just means he's going to play more minutes, and that's what happened. Exactly. You can't count on him for more shots. You can't really count on him for much else, except for you're hoping that he is an aggressive defender and gets there on some of the defensive stats and maybe just chips in a rebound here and there. But at the price point and the minutes, can you talk yourself into Marcus Smart? He's 4,300. We have him. Oh, I have him at 30 minutes. That's too low. But if you bump it up to like 35, 36 minutes, which could be in order here, would you kind of just plug your nose and hope that he gets enough minutes to cover you from a fantasy perspective?
I would, yeah. I mean, I think there's guys that are in our lineups right now or that are flirting with our lineups, guys like Jonathan Simmons, who's a huge chalk play on Wednesday. I like Smart better than him. I think the minutes are probably more secure. And the production, even if it's not spectacular, might be more secure too. So, yeah, I don't mind Smart. I think even if it edged out one of those other guys, I'd be happy to play him.
Yeah, you're going to have to kind of live with the fact that he's going to take like 8 shots in 40 minutes or something like that. Like that's when you share the court with Kyrie and Tatum and some of these other guys that Boston runs out there, a guy like Smart is just not going to be a guy taking people off the dribble. He's going to be hoping for, you know, some wide open threes, and that's just kind of it. Like, his game is to be a disruptor and not really be a focal point of the offense. So you kind of need to set that in your mind ahead of time and know that, and then still say, okay, but if I can get 40 minutes out of this guy at 4,400 on FanDuel, then I probably want to at least consider taking the risk. What about the Cleveland side? It looks like, I don't know if Alec Burks is going to make his debut. George Hill was questionable, I think. They still are very short on personnel. We saw upwards of 40 minutes for guys like Seti, Osman. Yeah. Larry Nance played a ton of minutes, didn't do a ton with it. He's a guy that can pour it on and play a lot of minutes, but he's not really going to score. Rodney Hood played 35. Sexton played in the high 30s. It's a bad matchup here against Boston, but I'm not sure if we're still possibly buying low and just the minutes upside in some of these Cleveland guys.
Yeah, so that game against OKC, I think, is fairly instructive here. The big question I had was, what are they going to do about the minutes? Because, you know, you made the point that they just didn't have anyone, and they sure looked like a team that was playing as though they didn't have anyone. They went right into the fourth quarter down by 11 points. They ultimately lost by 17, but they wound up playing, I mean, Osman 40 minutes, Nance 36, Thompson 35, Sexton 38, Hood 35, and Clarkson 32. So I think even with, you know, and then they gave token minutes to Ante Zizek and Andrew Harrison, but it sure looks like if the game is remotely close, you're going to see mid-30s plus minutes out of all those starters. And, you know, for better or worse, that probably puts them all in play.
Yeah, they're none of them are good. This is one of the problems. This is the worst team in basketball. Doesn't seem all that close with the personnel that they're running out there. Like Seti played 40 minutes and only shot 14 times. He got there on the rebounds, 10 rebounds, and he was decent, but he's another guy. He can play a lot of minutes and just not do a ton. So 42 minutes, and he's kind of scraping at value on some of these prices. So I think,
I mean, he was great against Oklahoma City on these prices, right? Let's be clear.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying that game. He was a great. I'm saying he's had some agreed on that game. I'm saying he's had other games of big minutes where you've been kind of like just creeping toward value on where he is. So that's more what I mean by him. He's just not going to be a high-volume scorer. The team just sucks so bad. Like, they play a very slow pace because they just don't want to give the ball back to the other team. You're basically just doing the math problem on how willing am I to pay to play bad players who are just going to play in a bad scheme that are going to play 40 minutes. And it's getting at least close on some of their prices now. And I wouldn't mind slotting in a guy here and there if I thought it was going to help make the money work. Memphis goes in and plays Brooklyn. No line in this game right now, because we're waiting on Marc Gasol news. He is questionable right now with a foot issue. Now, we just mentioned that centers just have brutalized the Nets this year, game in and game out. If Gasol were to play here, and you know, we had a line, the line would probably come in and be pretty close here. Neither one of these teams is, you know, significantly better than the other, I don't think. But would Gasol kind of creep into that cash game viability simply because of how bad Brooklyn's defended this position?
No, there's no chance I'm going to play Gasol at 9,800. Doesn't really matter what the matchup is. The guy averages 42 fantasy points a game. He really needs like 37 to 39 minutes in order to get there. Memphis will play him fewer minutes in games that get out of hand. Nah, I'm not going to play Gasol.
Yeah, it's interesting because this, again, we've done it to the point where, you said before, we had to just force Rudy Gobert's projection all the way down to make sure we weren't getting him at that price point. It ended up being wrong. I think that the sites have begun correcting a little bit for this matchup because it's just been so stark about how well the position's played against this one particular team. And I think I'm with you. There's enough question marks around just the health, too, that I don't think you need to take the risk. Atlanta goes in and plays OKC. OKC, another game of them being a big favorite. They were big favorites over Cleveland. Got there on the points. Now they're 13-point favorites again here against an Atlanta team that's about as bad as it gets in basketball in terms of defense, and they play a very fast pace. Westbrook's a guy showing up in every lineup for us right now on FanDuel and I believe on DraftKings as well. We did see sort of a return to a vintage stat Westbrook game from last time. Would you feel comfortable with him as your big money guy tonight in cash games?
Yeah, I don't think I would be worried about it at all. I mean, we just saw what he could do in the last game. He was really low-owned against Cleveland and just dropped 70 on them. He's triple-doubled now in two straight games. That seems to matter to him. Like, when the stats start flowing, he likes to keep chasing them. So I do think that as the season progresses, and he's going to really settle in, because the big issue on Westbrook is he's averaging fewer minutes, but most of that comes from being hurt. And early season especially, I mean, he was playing between 26 and 32 minutes a game, just nowhere near his season-long totals. The last two games, we've seen OKC really unleash him. I get the sense that they finally feel like he's healthy. And if he's going to play 37 minutes, you're going to see him become a $12,000 player in short order. And taking him against an Atlanta team that's just one of the very best defensive matchups in DFS based on their league fastest pace and bottom five defense, sure, I'll take as much as you'll give me.
And he draws their worst defender of the bunch, which is Trae Young. So it's even better. It gets even better for him, right? Like, he's going to completely work Trae Young in this game. We have him as the highest overall projected player. And, you know, you could make a key. You look at some other guys' names that are on this list and you say, oh, well, Harden and Davis and LeBron and Joel and all these other guys are playing. But Westbrook just has the clear best matchup of the group. Harden's playing the Spurs. Davis is against Miami. And LeBron is against Dallas. That one's not that bad, but it's on the back-to-back. So I think Westbrook, for me, it's funny about when we start running lineups this early in the morning. It's 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday. Some of these guys just seem like almost automatic locks just to start. It's like Baines and Westbrook. You're locking these guys up just right away, right? Like, it's just, and once you start covering now with a bump to Marcus Smart's minutes, now you're looking at him at 4,500, and we're going to get to Tim Frazier in a second. There's guys that it's just not, where I can almost say with conviction, outside of crazy news, there's like four or five or maybe even six guys already that are just going to be in lineups when we hit lineup lock, unless they are sitting out. So it's always funny when things line up like this on a big slate, and I feel like this is one of those nights where it's going to happen that way. I don't think there's anything else to really discuss here. With Westbrook around, the rest of the guys take a huge hit on their price points, especially because they've been priced up for games where he was not around. And then Atlanta, good luck trying to figure out the minutes on that team. Jeremy Lin did sit out last game. Didn't matter for anybody else because they're just horrible. All right, Houston goes in and plays the Spurs. Looks like Chris Paul is not going to be back again. And I actually think, I mean, I don't know how many days in a row, at what point, how many days in a row did we get the questionable tag on a guy before the team just said, look, he's just going to be out 2 weeks. Like, you know, I mean, how many times, I hate the guys, there was a team that did this year, it was Orlando. It was like 2 or 3 years ago, Orlando just had like Aaron Gordon questionable for like 3 months. You're like,
right.
Hey, can we just like call him out? Like, do we need to call him questionable every single night for like 40 games or something like that? It's like so insane. But seems like the way we're trending with Chris Paul here, because I still don't think he's all that close to coming back. We've seen the usage on Harden and Gordon when he's not around. Not the best matchup against San Antonio, though they are not the San Antonio of old. They are not nearly as good on defense as they've been in the past. They are actually ranking the bottom third of the league. Could you make a case for playing these guys again, knowing Paul, or if Paul were not to play again on Friday?
Yeah, I think you could. I mean, certainly Harden, again, at 11-7, you'd really like to play Harden and Westbrook, I think. I mean, right. Harden's now, dude, this guy has 155 fantasy points in his last two games with Chris Paul being out. That's a lot of fantasy points.
Yep.
And the big thing has been the assists. I mean, 17, 13, and 13 assists in the last three games, to say nothing of the 54 points he put up on Washington. He's another guy that just seems like just a slam dunk, surefire, $12,000 plus player who the price hasn't caught up on yet. And San Antonio has been funny. I mean, they're still playing a slow pace, bottom five pace, but they've also been a bottom five team in terms of defensive efficiency. So I think you can absolutely play people against them, especially for a guy like Harden, who is going to dictate the pace and going to have the ball in his hands so often. I mean, that just raises the floor. It lowers the standard deviation, his performance dramatically. And I think you'll just play him without thinking about it too hard. Gordon, a little closer for me. I mean, we saw he didn't quite get his minutes last game. Played just 33 against Dallas. When it amounts to a somewhat similar matchup defensively. And he's just really scoring dependent. And the price has come up. So I still think Gordon can get there. I still think he's a good cash game play. But not on the same order as Harden, in my mind.
Yeah, he's so scoring dependent. It's crazy, man. Like, now he's great. Like, he shoots the three as good as anybody in basketball, but he doesn't do anything else in terms of like what you're getting on his production. So you really need that three to drop for him. And the price has ticked up just enough that you're not feeling as like when it was 4,500 on DraftKings or whatever it was 3 games ago, I think that was a pretty easy call. Whatever, it's not going to kill you. When the price ticks up just enough into like the high fives, which is where he is now, I believe. Yeah, he's 5,800 on DraftKings. And the reason I mentioned DraftKings too is you do get those extra points for the three-pointer. I think that still now you're probably pushing it up to a point where I'm not sure you're getting crazy value. And then San Antonio, not a terrible matchup here against Houston. The over-under is a little lower than I would have thought it would have been. It's only at 217. San Antonio, just a one-point favorite. Aldridge and DeRozan do seem like they've had their minutes sliced a little bit in the short term, as Pop had said that they were playing too much early in the season. Not a bad matchup against a Houston team that's definitely worse on defense when Paul is not around. Anything to like here on the Spurs side?
No, not really. I think they're all just expensive, and you're going to take them in their best matchups and ignore them in normal and worse matchups, unless it's a really small slate, and that's what I'm looking at here. I'm not playing these guys.
Pelicans, 3-point road favorites against the Heat. We nodded to Tim Frazier earlier in the podcast. He was a chalk play. I had my concerns when we obviously knew he was going to be starting, and he was taking the Wesley Johnson role. Not the role. He was taking his spot in the lineup. That was a spot that had not really played many minutes out of the starting lineup. And Frazier was not a guy who've been playing minutes off the bench at all. Now, I know they did not have Frank Jackson that game, so they were losing a point guard. But I understood why the ownership was so high. And do we make a huge mistake by not bumping him through the roof? I think we gave him like 25 minutes going into the game or something like that, which seemed fair to me. And now he just played 35. So one, do we want to evaluate the process on that? Or do we want to just talk about like his stock going into tonight? You can kind of choose how you want to take it.
Well, the big thing we missed, I think, was that he actually wound up playing point guard. You know, a lot of the guys that have filled in that role, like the Wesley Johnson role, were guys like Wesley Johnson who don't dribble the ball up the court, and they would have lower time of possession than a guy like Frazier wound up having in that game. The fact that he dished 12 assists tells you basically all you need to know, which is the fact that they were happy with him taking the ball up the court. They didn't want Jrue Holiday doing it when he was out there, and that led to a much higher fantasy production than I would have guessed. And since he was effective, I think he wound up getting more minutes than potentially even they planned to give him. So 36 minutes seems like it would be on the high end. Like, it'd be hard to imagine him getting a lot more than that, but he's really, really cheap and was really, really good when he was out there last time. So I think he'd probably be on the crazier end to not throw him out there, given that 40% of the field did on 25 minutes or whatever, and the price has come up, but not dramatically so. And the one nice thing about these big slates too is that you can get kind of a sea of these guys in the 4,000s. Like, if you can play Baines and Frazier for starters, and then maybe you fill in a Marcus Smart or something like that, all of a sudden, each of those guys has a much less significant floor, because even if one of them flames out, you're probably going to get good performances from some of the others. So, yeah, I think it's a great night for Frazier.
Yeah, I think you're going to see him around maybe even higher ownership than Baines, like just based on what happened last game. The price does move up a little bit, but he was so good that the chalk all got there, and everyone that didn't play him is fully aware of what happened as well. So I think that you're going to see really crazy high ownership on him. And when you start, like you said, when you start playing Baines and Frazier, that is the path to start playing Westbrook and Harden together, and like another $9,000 guy. You're just getting such huge savings on some of these cheaper guys that Frazier, Smart, and Baines all of a sudden means you just have a lot of minutes and a lot of fantasy floor from those three, and then just a lot of salary left over. And the other good thing about Frazier on DraftKings is that he's shooting guard eligible. And when you can get a point guard playing the shooting guard position, at least on DraftKings, for very cheap, that's basically something you just have to lock yourself into. So that's one reason I like DraftKings a little bit more. It just gives you so much more lineup flexibility. Mm. So 4,200 for him, he's going to be an overwhelming chalk play as well, just because, again, point guard in the shooting guard slot. Miami, good luck figuring out the minutes on these losers. James Johnson starts, plays 19 minutes. Who knows? Linick comes in off the bench. You think you're going to see Ellington play a lot. He kind of doesn't. The only guy, if I sound disappointed, it's because I stared at this stupid team for like a half hour last night trying to figure out, well, Rodney Magruder, is he going to play 38 minutes or 30? Because he was kind of a popular player the other night on a short slate. Like Magruder and Ellington, and we're, who's dribbling the ball up? And I just kind of just threw my hands up and said, screw it, and just kind of gave them basically average minutes. Is there anything to like about this team? The game's supposed to stay close. New Orleans, they can give it up on the defensive end, and I'm just not... I just don't trust anything about this Miami team.
Yeah, I mean, I think Magruder is still a trustworthy guy on a minutes level. The performance kind of comes and goes because, like you said, they don't always know who's going to be the primary ball handler. And he's like just expensive for what his average production is, so you don't need to play him. Outside of him, though, yeah, I think they're just mixing and matching and hoping for the best. I mean, Richardson stays out there, but he's not a $7,900 player in a normal game script. The guy's averaged, again, 34 fantasy points a game. I don't know why. It just seems like the sites, for some reason, just make a decision on a guy's price, or like it hits a high point and then they just forget that you can also lower it or something, because the guy, like, maybe he had a little stretch earlier this season, but 34 fantasy points, like, there's no matchup he could be in where that would be a reasonable play. So yeah, Miami's mostly in the skip category, I guess, is what I'm saying, in spite of a pretty good matchup here.
Yeah, and they're still without Tyler Johnson and Goran Dragic, so it's not like they are coming here at full strength. You would think usually when you lose your point guard and your backup point guard, that's going to open up minutes.
But Ellington's like price has come up. It did open up some opportunity, but I think we tapped into it, right? And we played Ellington at 4,200, but at 5,600, you just need to be an actual good player. And, he's hit that sometimes and sometimes not, and that just makes him a GPP play to me.
Yep. Yeah. I think you hit it on the nail on the head, and then we're going to see, you just haven't seen consistent minutes out of Whiteside either in the short term. So just kind of a team that they're at the whim of the rotations, and that's, I don't know, catching a falling knife territory in terms of trying to figure out where they don't even, honestly, last note on this, it's not even like these guys have tons of upside either. So it's like sometimes you guess right on the guy and it's like, what does he do? He just scrapes up the value. Maybe get a Will Ellington like lights out shooting game. But right. It doesn't seem like these guys have upside. All right, anyway, Orlando goes in and plays Phoenix. The big news here, obviously, is waiting on Aaron Gordon news. The aforementioned, the guy who was questionable for a whole season, he's questionable again tonight. It's a different regime, so I don't think it's going to be the same kind of injury reporting. But he's questionable. Jonathan Isaac did get to the start the other night. It's a great matchup here still against Phoenix. We're going to talk about them in a second. But Vucevic, he has been just freaking amazing this season. One of the very best fantasy centers and just overall centers in the game. Would you be interested in playing him in a what's... lines up as a good matchup here against the Suns, and I think there's some other guys we can consider as well. Isaac, maybe even Terrence Ross off the bench. What are your thoughts here on the Magic?
I don't think you're going to want to play Vooch. I think he's a good player, and this ultimately falls in the it's still Orlando category because the guy's only played 35 minutes in one game since the Philly game on November 14th, so he's going to need minutes in order to be a $9,500 player. Granted, he's done it sometimes without it, right? Like, you know, he put 55 up against Golden State in 32 minutes. So he certainly got the upside to be a really good player on this price, especially if just something wacky happens and he winds up with more minutes than you'd expect. But unfortunately, I don't think I'm super interested. But I would probably, you know, with some reservation, point to a lot of these other guys that were chalk last time. Guys like Jonathan Isaac, Jonathan Simmons, both of those were north of 50% ownership in their last game. It's a better matchup now. The minutes should still be there. Even Terrence Ross off the bench. Like, these are not exciting names to hear for me, but, you know, they're, in some ways, they're guys who can wind up making the money work for you. And, you know, it's interesting. When you have these cheap players, it's like the opposite of diminishing returns, whatever that is called, like increasing or ascending returns or something, where when you have a bunch of $4,000 players on FanDuel already, you're heavily incentivized to play even more of them if they're good plays. Because, again, you don't know who the bad play is going to be. And if they're, like, decent but slightly volatile, you can get away with it a little bit more. So I guess I would consider those mid-range guys. And probably Isaac would be the one. Just based on, because I watched that game, and I was, just because I was like, well, what is going on with Jonathan Simmons primarily? but it sure looked to me like Isaac was the most secure guy in that role, and, you know, then probably Ross and Simmons would be a toss-up after that.
Yeah, you're encouraged by the rebounds that Isaac pulled down, 7 rebounds that game in 30 minutes. He's got talent.
He just seemed involved out there. Yes. Simmons just didn't seem involved. That was the thing that concerned me.
He's a tough one to watch, man. That's definitely a guy you tune in to wonder about. Like, is he actually, I see his name like in a box score and I only have the two TVs going or whatever, and I need to like make sure that he just, let's just switch over real quick, make sure he's actually on the court and that's not just like some API misreporting that it's actually like Wesley Awundu or something like that. and then you go over and you're like, oh god damn it, he is actually playing. That's even worse. It would have been better if he wasn't. No, I think I'm with you. I think Isaac, the price does come up a little bit, but I think you could see him as another popular play again tonight. And Ross does get an increased usage off the bench. And the last thing we're just going to need to wait on is if Gordon is actually out or not, because again, he's still listed as questionable. And then Phoenix does the thing that bad teams do. They start a guy, Isaiah Kanan, one game, he plays like 30 minutes, and then they cut him. Like the next game, he's just off the team. Just makes no sense. Like, you never see this guy. It's like what happens to like rec league basketball or something like that. It's just, it makes no sense at all. Like, so he's off the team. They move Booker essentially to the point guard, and then bring off Eli Okobo off the bench. Okobo is cheap. He was awesome last game.
Yeah.
He's coming actually cheaper. Well, now he's the same price as Frazier, so I don't think you wouldn't prioritize Frazier over him.
You would prioritize Frazier over him.
Apologies. Yes, you would play Frazier over Okobo. And I'm just like wondering your thoughts here. I mean, what are the thoughts of maybe stacking them both together? They're so cheap. I don't know if I want to get away from Westbrook and start piling on the.
You don't want to do Okobo on FanDuel, I don't think. But you can do him on DraftKings, dude. He's still the minimum price there. And I mean, we played him in that late slate on the news that Devin Booker had been moved to doubtful. Gotta love the Suns too, by the way. Like, you're sitting there, it's 9:30 Eastern.
That was the other one.
Yep. And you're like, you know something? We better go let the media know that Devin is going to be doubtful now. And they're like, okay.
TJ Warren was doubtful too, and they both played.
All right, let's race out. They lowered the status on both. So we update the model. I'm like, dude, Eli Okobo, you got to play him and Jamal Crawford probably, right? And anyway, I update it. And then at like 10:15, they're like, Nah, dude, you go out there and play. We change our minds. You actually seem totally fine. 45
gamesmanship. Just like, it's so ridiculous. It's so frustrating too, because this happened, actually, not to go off on a complete tangent here about this, but this exact thing happened last night with the Clippers, where it's like Marcin Gortat, he's doubtful, not going to play. You're like, oh, Boban everywhere. Boban was a 50% start in cash. He didn't play because Gortat was like, he's doubtful, and then you line up lock.
Yeah,
and then
did we
like
say 9 he was o'clock, out? No, we said he was doubtful.
Well, then they line up lock, and then the news is Gortat said he's available. The team didn't say he was available. Gortat tells like a random reporter that he's available. And then like 5 minutes later, the team's like, oh, we send the PR guy out there. We got to tell him that he is available. And he plays, and Boban doesn't start at all, just gets 0 minutes.
I hate to see
it. It's just like classic like West Coast doubtful thing. Anyway, Okobo, nice DraftKings play if you think the minutes are going to be there. He's not going to shoot as well as he shot last game. He's a relative unknown, so I always caution people with stuff like this. And this is also still the Suns. Just remember, they just took their starting point guard and released him. So like,
I think on 3K, though, I think you're safe. I do think
that. I think you're probably safe. I'm just
low enough that you can do it.
I'm fine playing him. I think that he's cheap enough that
sounds
I think
like you don't
want to
play
saying,
him, but I'm.
Well, I'm saying that you cannot trust teams that have a starting point guard one day that flat out release the guy 2 days later. So like that's just we're just talking about a totally different situation than
sounds
most
like you don't
other
play
teams.
Him. That's fine. You said your opinion. I think we should move on.
Mavericks go ahead and play the Lakers. Lakers coming on the back-to-back here. LeBron was excellent last night against the Pacers. Mavericks are moving into a situation now where this is Doncic's team for sure. He kind of had not a viral video kind of night, but he had a couple just amazing plays. He had a step-back corner three that just looked all the world like he'd been playing basketball forever. He had a kind of a buzzer-beater three-pointer to end the half. So he just kind of – it was one of those games. It's not like a coming-out party because obviously the guy's great, but it was also one of these ones where, like, this guy just looks like he's played just forever. And I do think they're turning the team more over to him, especially from a just facilitation role. He's getting a little bit expensive. This is still a pretty good matchup against the Lakers. I don't know, what are your thoughts on this game? Feels like there should be plays here, and I'm just maybe not seeing it because there's other value on the slate.
Yeah, I mean, our system wonders if LeBron is the big money payoff you've been looking for tonight. I mean, he's 11,000, so he's cheaper than some of those other guys like Harden and Westbrook. He's probably safer minutes-wise than Westbrook. Maybe not, but the Lakers have moved him back up into like a 35 to 40-minute rotation. The average fantasy points on the year are reasonable. Dallas is a team that's played slow but poorly on defense for 2 years in a row now and a little bit faster this year. I don't know. He's like the guy that's jumping out right now in the system. I can't say I feel great about it. I'd much rather play Harden or Westbrook, but right now the system is it's piqued its interest. I think there's some kind of small forward issue because I'm seeing a lot of weird small forwards come across the line here. But your thoughts on LeBron? I don't know. He doesn't seem like the payoff that I hope for.
No, you're right. You're pointing to what the issue here is, which is small forward. If you look down this list of small forwards, this is a real bad looking list tonight. I'm just gonna roll through real quick with and then we're gonna get out of here. But Jonathan Isaac, I think, is a pretty clear play. But then after that, you're like, okay, I can play Seti Osman in a blowout thing again in a terrible matchup against Boston. Hernan Gomez, that price is up to 5,000. I don't know if you want to go there. And then that's like the top of the list. Then you get the guys like Etuan Moore, Jonathan Simmons, who we mentioned, T.J. Warren. Actually, I don't mind Warren at 6,300. He actually I think does have some upside.
Not insane at all.
And then it really falls off a cliff. Kyle Anderson, Rodney Hood, Paul George in a blowout, Ingles, and then you get down to LeBron and forget the list.
Well, there's cheap guys like Isaac, Simmons, Seti Osman. One thing I will say about Phoenix, because we glossed over this. Phoenix is a team that will run those guys out there for huge minutes in games that manage to stay close. But they're so bad that they're very rarely in games that stay close. So
right.
If you can get them tonight, that game is a pick 'em right now. That seems like a pretty good value. I like Warren. I like Booker probably for that reason too.
Right now, just because we'll have a betting article coming up later today, our system does not see this game as a pick 'em. Our system sees this as Phoenix winning this like sort of handily. So we'll have some of these bets coming up as a premium article later on today. But Vegas has a pick 'em. We do not. I know we backtrack back a game. Last game, Denver and Portland. Not a ton of injury news here outside of the Gary Harris. Probably. It seems like he's going to come back. I believe he practiced yesterday. And Mike Malone did say that there was a chance he was going to play. That was news we had been waiting on last time they played on a short slate where that news really mattered where there's only three games. I don't think that news matters nearly as much tonight with so many other options. Any final thoughts here on Denver and Portland?
Oh, not really. Denver and Portland both have these guys, you know, like the CJ McCollums of the world or whoever that are like fine. And if they're in your lineup, then you're make do. And I think on a short slate, or on a short slate, you'd look at him a lot more because you can get some decent floor, especially out of some of the bigger Portland guys like Lillard and McCollum. I think on a big slate like this, they just lack the flashy upside that you're going to need tonight, because I think tonight it's going to be the way it's shaping up. When you start a night with Frazier and Baines, it's already going to be a Stars and Scrubs night, basically. And the question you're going to ask yourself is, do I want, are my stars going to be Lillard or like Jokic on questionable minutes? I don't think so. So I'll probably be generally ignoring this game.
Yeah, and by the way, both these teams are very good, and they're good on defense.
Yeah, that's great.
Too.
So congratulations. Way to make a good team. I don't care, because it's DFS.
Yeah. All right, well, on that note, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com is the site. DFSR.com/deals gets you that free 7-day trial for our projection system, powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for NBA, NFL as well. Premium chat, premium articles going up just about every single day. We think it's about as good a deal as you'll find in the industry. You come around for those 7 days, we think you'll be with us for the long haul. Going over into the chat room, just join the community of people that are talking sports pretty much all day, but especially in the evenings.
Yeah, it's a sports bar you don't have to leave your house for.
DFSR.com/deals. Go check it out, buddy. Talk to you next week. Enjoy your Friday night at basketball.
Goodbye.